Thanks for clicking on our podcast. This is John Fraser, and with my partner in wine down in the Cape, Michael Olivier, each week we taste the very best that the Cape has to offer in wines or spirits, whatever tickles our fancy, and hopefully it'll tickle yours as well. And once again, you are with Divine Intervention, the program that occasionally travels outside South Africa's shores, but we really do like to highlight some of the real gems produced in the booze world in South Africa. And this evening, we have a special treat. It's a brandy from KWV, one of our largest wines and spirits producers. It's won a squillion awards in the last year or so. And it's 12 years old, so it's barely legal. But nonetheless, I think it'll please. But what do I know? Just to preface our tasting with an introduction to our studio guests, we have Mike Schussler, leading economist, twice Economist of the Year, and right, we're not through 2015 yet. Dino Fagus, restaurateur with the award-winning food and wine, came all the way from Prosopa in Pretoria for the fourth week in a row to chat to us. Thank you for your dedication.
Thank you, John.
And what would a tasting be without Jeremy Sampson, branding legend? Jeremy, delighted that you were able to come in and speak to us yet again as well.
Thank you, John.
Right, Michael Olivier, welcome to you, our food and wine guru in Cape Town.
Thank you, John.
No Divine Intervention podcast would be the same without you, Michael. So please tell us about this brandy and what's so good about it.
Well, John, you know, KWV, both on the wine side and on the brandy side, are absolutely flying at the moment. This KWV 12-year-old pot still brandy last year won the International Wine Spirits Challenge Worldwide Best Brandy. Now, one of the things that we do here is we have very strict laws about our brandy production. The brandy can't be matured in containers larger than 340 liters, which is an expensive operation. It has to be matured for a minimum of 3 years, again an expensive operation. So, you know, we're not producing brandy like the Portuguese and the Spanish and various other people, where they're using a filthy great big oak cask and aging it for 6 months and then putting it out into the marketplace. Every single brandy, particularly the KWV brandy, 3, 5, 8, 10, 12, 15, 20 year olds, are just superb. And Peter de Bort, who is the master distiller there, really, I mean, he's got to be the best brandy maker in the world. This is the 12-year-old. The content is anything between 12 and 20 years old. So what they're saying is there's no brandy in here that's less than 12 years old. It's just the most incredible color, this rich, rich gold. And then on the nose, you've got that sort of figgy, soft-dried fig kind of expression. There's citrus there. There's a lovely sort of undertow of white chocolate, and then sort of in the background there's sort of lavendery, rose petally stuff going on, and then in the mouth you've got that incredible sort of lovely full sweetness of dried fruit. There's honey there, there's oak. It's beautifully balanced. I mean, this wine has just got, this brandy's just got everything in the perfect place, and this long, slow, lingering, gently waning aftertaste. This is a truly great brandy.
Well, everything in the perfect place. Unfortunately, there's some air in my glass, because I would love it to be topped up with this brandy. For me, this is absolutely gorgeous. One of our guests and I drank far too much of this very brandy over a dangerously alcoholic lunch just before Christmas. I must say, I loved it then. I'm loving it today. I have subsequently bought a bottle, which I just wanted to check was as good as the other stuff, and it is. I would probably, we're drinking it neat, Michael, just so you know, yeah. I would probably have this over ice, maybe not too much ice to dilute too much, but to bring it down a little bit in temperature. Although, just as a diversion, Michael, there are people who actually warm their brandies, aren't there?
Yeah, my father used to do all the wrong things with his brandy. He was a great KWV brandy man, and he had a huge as three or four huge brandy balloons, and he would pour the brandy in, put his hands round it and swirl it and heat it up that way. And what, in fact, you should do if you want to taste a good brandy like this is to pour it into the glass and then get your nose down into the glass and get the sort of the first smells at sort of grass at the glass room level, and then get your nose deeper in to get those other sort of secondary wonderful aromas.
Dino Fergus, first of all, are you enjoying this? And secondly, remind me of that sadly now departed customer of yours who insisted that her brandy was warmed in the microwave.
Firstly, I'm thoroughly enjoying this brandy. I've never understood the practice of warming brandy. I prefer mine, if not slightly chilled, rather than room temperature. And she thought it was the right thing, and she said she wanted the alcohol to be lessened, so she asked the waiter to put it in the microwave.
How funny.
But presumably that would have lowered the volume as well.
Yes, quite drastically.
And then she claimed she was being ripped off.
Absolutely.
Well, it takes all sorts, and I must say this lady Helga was one of the characters I've met at your restaurant, a really, really interesting and amazing lady who sadly passed away a few months ago. And I raise my glass to her because she brought many a smile to me when I was dining in Prosop.
Absolutely.
Mike Schussler, as you know, you and I did a bit of very important homework in preparation for this tasting. Are you enjoying it as much now?
I still enjoy it as much. I just want to say the one thing is, a pot still brandy, the way I understand it, Michael can correct me, is the same as a cognac. It's the same method. A cognac is just the French version of the young grapes, and then it's pot still, and it's made in a certain region. And the reason that you heat it is that in the winter months in Europe, that's what you would do. But the other reason that you heat it is to smell it and to make it go into your throat through your nose, so when you drink it, it's much smoother to you. And this brandy is absolutely... I'm not a big brandy drinker. The only brandy I have in my house is the KWV. I used to have the Bucksback pot still brandy often, sometimes a Niederberg pot still brandy. But those are the only sort of brandies I would have. And this one I've got two bottles of already, and I think it's brilliant.
Well, Mike, I passed by the Bucksburg farm when I was last down in the Cape, and I did buy some of this brandy. I have to say, it was a couple of hundred rand more a bottle than this KWV
which has been
on great promotion over Christmas and New Year. Long may that continue. I even got some free glasses with the bottle.
I may just tell you that I go to an economic conference every year in the Southern Cape in Reuterbos, where the Professor Strydom, Piet Strydom, and he's the one that introduced all of us to South African pot still brandy, and he seems to be doing quite a good job under economists of making us drink this stuff. And different South African wines, I may just tell you, Michael, but he always... you pay, and he has a deal with a hotel where we bring in whole bottles. And then every evening, the two evenings that we're there, we drink a different brandy, those of us who drink.
So if anyone thought that economists worked hard, Mike has just, I'm afraid, destroyed all their
religion.
Anyway, Jeremy Sampson, you've been sitting here very patiently, sniffing your brandy. Tell us if it's unclogged the sinuses.
Well, I'm taking Michael's advice. I'm sticking my nose right down into the glass, and... it's a very pleasant experience, you know, the aromas coming through. But I want to come back to what Michael was saying about KWV as well, because they really are having a purple patch. You know, their wines, whether it's the Mentors range or the Classic, whatever, their brandies are absolutely superb. And just as we, I think, should support South African products, we also, perhaps when we travel, should act as ambassadors and take bottles of this overseas, because people get quite shocked when... not only do they come across the quality, but then when you tell them the price. So this 12-year-old, I'll give it 5 stars.
Excellent. Well, back down to our star in the Cape Town, our one star sitting in his solitary wine cellar chatting to us, Michael Olivier. There has been a downward trend in brandy consumption, which I find rather bizarre, rather perverse, because, as you know, on these tastings that we've done, you've introduced me to several brandies, which I've consumed with great joy, and I think I can say quite truthfully that in the last few months I've drunk a lot more brandy than the whiskey, and every night I'm very happy to throw some ice cubes in a glass, pour a bit of brandy in, and sit there happily sipping as I watch terrible television.
Yeah. Yeah, look, I think it is the case that less and less brandy's being consumed, sadly. But I think the Brandy Foundation are doing a really good job in promoting brandy. I think the drinkers are tending probably to move to whiskey. But, you know, when you've discovered the delights of our brandies, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily choose to drink a French cognac over and above a really good KWV brandy.
Agreed, although one mustn't be too narrow-minded. Obviously, France has Armagnac, which is another region where they make very yes. nice brandy. They have cognac. Calvados, the apple brandy. Now, if we could find that at reasonable prices in South Africa. I know, Michael, on your website, you've got a really good pork with, I think it's cider and Calvados recipe.
Yes.
I would cook that a lot, but lovely. With Calvados at 500 rand a bottle, it's just a lot of money.
Yeah, it is.
So if anybody from the Calvados world is sitting there fretting that we're drinking something far superior to your product, bring down the price and I'll be able to delight myself with some more of Michael Olivier's superb cooking. Michael, what would you eat with this? Would you keep the brandy until after the meal, or might you have a slug before you've finished your food?
I think a lot depends on I think it's a sort of brandy that you could have with the dessert. I think the dessert perhaps should be something chocolatey. Maybe that's sort of like one of those lovely sort of lava puddings, you know, there's a baked chocolate pudding, and when you put the spoon into it, the center spews out onto the plate. Or a really nice, good chocolate mousse would be lovely with this. But I think this is the sort of thing that you want to, when you've finished your meal, you want to get into.
Jeremy Sampson, do you agree?
I think so. I think, you know, you come from a certain age sometimes where you think of brandy as the drink that you'll have at the end of the meal, the end of the evening, as you say, settling down to almost snooze off. But there are times when perhaps even, and we haven't mentioned it, have it with a Coca-Cola. You know, it's a very refreshing drink.
I wouldn't put Coke in this stuff, as I wouldn't put Coke in a nice malt whiskey, but you're right. Brandy and Coke is a very popular drink, particularly amongst younger people. Rum, brandy, all sorts of stuff. Mm. They'll throw a Coke in, and there are bars that do really good promotions on that.
KWV does a can with KWV brandy and cola pre-mixed for you.
Oh, delightful. I shall buy a case on my way home, Michael. Dino Fergus, I know that there are various smoking restrictions imposed on restaurants, and I, for one, as a non-smoker, am very grateful for that. But the brandy and the cigar is a great tradition in the world of gastronomy, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And a nice one, too. I mean, I'm sure most of us have enjoyed a cigar with a nice brandy after a meal. Unfortunately, it's got to be restricted to where you do it.
Mike Chaussu, I'm sure your medical aide is not listening. Do you enjoy a good brandy and cigar?
I've stopped smoking 4 years ago, and a while back, before that, I stopped smoking, and I started smoking with cigars again. So I've got to be a bit careful about that, but I did enjoy a cigar with many a drink. I would just like to say one of the most surprising meals I've had was in a guest house in Leidenburg, and the cook claimed that he had done Tim Rice.
I beg your pardon?
He was.
Was Tim aware of this?
No, Tim Rice. He was there, and he made us a very nice steak with Jack Daniels and brandy sautéed potatoes, baby potatoes, which was absolutely with parsley and stuff, which was absolutely out of this world, and it was really a surprise in a small little town. And it was a real so on. So I've seen and tasted brandy in many aspects, but this one is certainly not one I would use for cooking at all. This is for drink.
And Michael Olivier, final word from you on the brandy and cigar. Is that a match made in heaven?
I'm not a cigar smoker, so I wouldn't really know. But I think sitting down after a meal, very quietly, some serious conversation and gently sipping is a very special thing.
Well, I'm afraid that you'll find no serious conversation on divine intervention, and I'm afraid you're going to have to wait till next week for some more, because it's time to say goodbye to our guests, having tasted what I think is one of the gems of the booze world in South Africa, the 12-year-old KWV brandy. Michael Olive here in Cape Town, as always, a real treat to have you talk us through something with your wit, your wisdom, your knowledge, and your wonderfulness.
Oh, John, thank you. Very kind.
I'm wonderful as well. You can say that. Mike Schussler?
Yeah, brilliant. Brilliant.
Dino, lovely seeing you again. Dino Fagus, everyone go to Prosopa. Tell them you know me, and you'll only have to pay 50% more. And last, Jeremy Sampson.
John, as always, what a pleasure. No, superb, superb brandy. Thank you.
I'm John Fraser, and that was Divine Intervention.